Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live. We're kind of like herpes. We're the show that just won't go away. As far as...
keeps coming back.
Just keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. You know, statists try and, you know, take out the founder. They try, you know, other people have threatened bodily harm against the other founder. You know, they've put one of the founders in a cage, etc. and so on. There have been many attempts to sort of discredit or otherwise dismantle this show, but none have succeeded. We are still here. If you're listening to us and you have an opinion that sounds something like the government sucks, well, congratulations. You are part of the resistance. You are part of the revolution, or as I like to say, the evolution.
You just made the list.
Yes. And in fact, I was talking to a friend of mine on text messages, and he's like, dude, I heard all about the Eaton thing or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And we're talking a little bit about the details of what happened or whatever. And he's like, he made some comment about, like, I realize that even just, like, talking to you about this probably puts me on a list.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yep, probably.
Probably.
You know, we know for a fact from both Ian and Arya's federal trials that the government listens to us nightly.
Your credibility in, like, the freedom and liberty movement should be called into question if you're not on the list.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to say...
It's not even a badge of honor.
It shouldn't be.
It's like minimum requirement at this point.
Right. It shouldn't be a badge. Like, I don't go around looking for badges of honor when it comes to being a voluntarist or whatever.
Just take them off the fallen bodies of our enemies.
I mean, if somebody gives me one, right, like the honorary doctorate that I received, right, from, you know, a caller. He was like, look, man, I've been listening to the show, blah, 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 blah. He's like, as far as I'm concerned, you're a doctor of freedom. And I'm like, sweet, I'll take that. I incorporated it into my very long and extensive titled name.
Well, and if you think about it, who's going to bestow a doctorate of freedom? I mean, sounds like some kind of controlled government institution, or you can just do that because you're free.
My favorite title bestowed upon me by a friend now deceased was the Knight of Arduous Virtue.
Arduous Virtue?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
For being consistent with the ethics and morality of freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that would be arduous.
Yes.
Yes. To be consistent. That's the arduous part.
Yes.
Right? And, yes, we all know how arduous it is to be consistent when it comes to freedom. I mean, I thank you guys. I thank the freedom community at large in New Hampshire for keeping me on that path of consistency, because I'm human. I'm imperfect. I'm not going to do everything right 100% of the time, but I'm trying. Damn it, I'm trying. I'm trying real hard. And, like, consistency when it comes to philosophy is, you know, it's not the path of least resistance.
No.
Most people in today's society, at least in the United States, seem to take the path of least resistance.
And, even libertarians on occasion.
They're
one special issue.
Well, there's only two consistent positions. Either it is okay to get what you want through threats and violence, or it's not. If it is okay, then, well, we should really just live under totalitarian dictatorships.
Well, it's not okay 95% of the time, but in this 5% my special case, then it must be done because there's no other way around it.
Well, that sounds like an inconsistency.
Capitalism has failed. Who will build the roads?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we really shouldn't beat each other up, but, you know, you own your children, so you can just beat them whenever you want to, for their own good. And because we have that relationship there, why wouldn't we have that relationship with Big Daddy Government?
I was on my way here. I'm not going to share the name of it, but I was listening to a libertarian anarchist-styled podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And they intimated that without the government intervention, people are just too selfish to actually put together community plumbing.
Right.
We would not have plumbing or the electrical grid if it weren't for the oversight of the government.
We couldn't possibly agree on anything unless there was someone forcing us to do it.
From an anarchist podcast?
Wow. No. I'm pulling their card.
You pull their card, I'll tell you who it is off air.
Okay. But yeah, no, at that point, you are no longer an anarchist podcast. You are a minarchist podcast.
Fair.
I had a... So when you're a... I don't know, what's the word... A budding anarchist,
okay,
libertarian. When you're sort of coming out of the fog of statism,
just a wee bit of anarchism.
You know, you're trying to become that guy who like can have some discussions with other people, and when people say things that are contrary to philosophy,
would you maybe call them an apprenticist?
An apprenticist. Ooh, that is a
nice neologism.
A portmanteau as well.
I try.
Yes.
All right. Continue.
So the portmanteau for tonight is a apprenticist. That's an apprentice anarchist, for those of you not paying attention or playing the home game.
Not be confused with a printarchist, who believes that printing should be the ruler of all.
PC load letter.
PC load letter.
I can't say the rest of that.
So at any rate, I'm at some dive bar in the Seattle, Washington area, and there's this obvious lefty bartender guy. Okay. I'm hanging out with this chick from Australia who... reminded me a lot of, like, a very young Olivia Newton-John, for those of you who are old enough to know who Olivia Newton-John is. I'm talking to her about stuff, and she's digging it, and she's talking to me about stuff, and I'm digging her or whatever. And then he says something, and I'm like, dude, look, the government is just totally unnecessary. And he just, like, you could see his face got red, right? He started, like, coming out of the mouth.
Foaming at the mouth.
He's like, what? What? Do you want feces and urine just streaming out into the streets? Because that's what will happen if there's no cover. He's like yelling at
that's
the top
funny,
of his lungs. Like, the whole bar.
There are cities in the world where there are just feces and urine pouring out into the streets.
Like
and
San Francisco.
Last I checked, had a government. Yeah. In fact, a lot of it.
Yeah, so the whole entire bar, like, you know, kind of hushed up as this guy was going on his...
Ooh, the captain's taking on the bartender. Everyone
rant.
Crowd around.
Yeah. And so I was just like, you know what? I'm going to tab out.
Oh.
You know?
All right.
I was just... I couldn't deal with spittle guy.
Okay.
Right? Plus, I got this, like, hot Australian blonde I'm trying to, you know, and I'm like, hey, do you want to... And she's like, sure, because she was like, this guy's freaking out, man. You know, so whatever it is I said to him hurt him so that he had to get all... As a bartender, serving people... Like, you're not even supposed to take an opinion as a bartender.
You know what, bro? Calm down. Here's my card. I do this 7 nights a week. Just give us a call.
Right.
Between 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern time. So I will happily re-engage.
I will be happy to have this conversation when it actually benefits me.
On the clock.
Exactly.
I'll do just about anything you want on the clock.
Right.
Right.
That's what capitalism is all about.
Yeah. My coworker texted me before I went to work the other day. He's like, hey, can you stop off and like pick me up a pack of smokes? And I was like, no, because I'm not on the clock yet.
Right.
Let me get to work, and then we maybe take a break to go do that sort of thing on the clock. But favors and the like, not really my thing.
Yeah.
Especially for that. Like, I'm stop.
Like, yeah, but you know they're 20 a pack now, right?
Well, and that's
20
the thing.
A pack, yeah,
I thought about it afterward. Like, I could have negotiated, but, you know, I kind of know how much money he's walking around with, and I don't think he would have paid 20 bucks.
How much are cigarettes?
It's probably closer to 10 here.
Oh.
When I left Hawaii 5 years ago, a gas station I was working at, they're nary a pack under 10 bucks, and I can just imagine what that has spiked in the last 5 years since I've left.
Yeah, I just figured they were about 15.
When I quit smoking more than a decade ago now, so probably 15 years or so, it was Like, if you wanted, like, the quality cigarettes, if you wanted, like, American Spirits or something like that, you're paying 10, 11 bucks a pack.
Yeah.
But, like, Marlboro and Camel and Winston, they were all still probably, like, you could find them at 8 bucks, you know, thereabouts. So I can only assume it's doubled by now.
Yeah.
If you know how much cigarettes cost at a store near you, 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call.
This is going to sound moderately racist because it was a black dude that came in for a pack of smokes. And I went, let me guess, Newports. And he was like, yeah, how'd you know? It's because he was wearing a Newport shirt. It had nothing to do with it. He's like, oh, yeah.
My most hated, because I used to work in a convenience store, and my most hated pack of cigarettes because it didn't fit. You know how above the counters at the convenience store they have the big giant cigarette? Not just that.
Oh, okay.
It was the, I call them vagina slimes.
The Super Slims? The
Virginia Slims Ultralight 120s.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, like, there's regular size cigarettes.
Yep.
And then there's a little bit longer cigarettes called 100s.
Yep.
I don't know why they're called 100s, some sort of a millimeter, you know, I don't know, measurement or something. But then there's one bigger, and they're the 120s. And what happens is these packs of cigarettes sort of stick out of their chosen slot at said convenience store. And they're also the easiest ones to sort of fall out. If you just accidentally brush against them, one or two packs are going to fall out because of the overhang. Yeah. Right, yeah. And so they annoyed me, and so that's why I hated them. And there was, like, one customer that smoked them. That's it. One. It wasn't like there were 20.
And female.
And, of course.
Of course.
It was like this one lady came in randomly. Like, we couldn't even count on her, right? It's not like, oh, she's buying one pack of these every day at, you know, morning time on her way to work or whatever. No. It was just a random thing where she would come in and be like, can I get the Virginia Slims Ultralight 120s? And we were like, sure. And we knew right where they were because she was the only one that ordered them.
She'd already had them ready when you saw her walk in. Yeah. Like, I'm just right here for it.
If you're good at your job, yes.
Yeah.
If you're not, then no.
Okay.
And so, like, that was my most hated brand of cigarettes. My favorite brand, of course, was the...
Lucky Strike?
No.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember the acronym now. It was the GPC.
Okay.
Right? These are the most generic cigarettes you can get. There was like this rotating series of cigarettes from time to time. Not series, but like rotating names of stuff that I can't even remember all the different generic types of cigarettes that would roll through. And basically, they were just, well, crappy cigarettes with a lot of filler or a lot of air, right? Very little cigarette. But the GPCs, for whatever, were a little closer to like the regular brands, like the Marlboro and the Camel and the Winston and stuff like that. And so the GPCs would try and be the cheapest, but then you'd have some other fly-by-night brand come in and try and compete with them and be like 5 cents or 10 cents cheaper or whatever. And you'd stock them for a while, and people would stop buying them after a while when they realized that, like, oh, hey, it takes me like 1 minute to smoke one of these, but it takes me 3.5 minutes to smoke a GPC, right? So eventually, GPCs sort of like ruled the generic market. They were the generic cigarette. They were probably repackaged Camels or whatever, Winstons or Marlboros or some mix of all of those. They won out, and so people would. There was that song. Are you down with OPP?
Yes.
Right, and people would be like,
me.
Yeah, I'm down with GPC. Right, you know. So that became a thing amongst the customers. They would order those, and they were inexpensive comparatively. Yeah. Every now and again, somebody like Marlboro or Camel or Winston or somebody like that would run like a 3-pack special, and they'd bring you in like a whole box of like in a special 3-pack package or whatever. I remember when Camel was doing Camel Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
These trifold little mini brochures that were supposed to be like a Camel dollar, and you would collect these Camel dollars.
My ex had a bunch of those in a little wallet.
And buy Camel merchandise. A friend of mine got the Camel Joe leather jacket. He saved so many of these. Another friend of mine got the Camel Joe dartboard.
Nice.
And somebody that they know, I don't know this person, would not only smoke himself, but go around and collecting them from other smokers as
much
as he could.
That's a good way to do it.
And he ended up with the Camel pool table, which
nice.
Is like the highest, most prestigious smoking award that you could achieve using these Camel Bucks. a brilliant marketing strategy, in my opinion, from the cigarette manufacturer. However, like, it's like, hey, thanks for killing yourself for us.
Well, whatever. You know? It's a voluntary choice. I had one customer come in who was like a Japanese tourist.
And it's voluntary up until you're addicted.
Well, all right.
Right? Which take long.
Okay.
You know? Like, I quit smoking. I've said this before on this show and other shows. I didn't quit smoking as a result of me making a healthy choice. I tried to, right?
Okay.
I tried the patch. I tried the Chantix. I was early on in the e-cigarette movement before vaping became a thing. I had one of the early e-cigarettes with the nicotine juice.
I just want to know where the line is between my decision and someone else's responsibility for my lifestyle.
Well, I mean, you should ultimately be responsible.
Okay.
You are ultimately responsible.
All right.
I ended up quitting smoking not because of a decision to be healthier or because I used some other product to help get me off of the nicotine.
Right.
I quit smoking because somebody questioned my philosophy.
Yeah.
I went on a rant at a friend of mine's, you know, a friend of mine was in a band. They were at a show. We're out in the smoking area. They had an outdoor fenced-in smoking area. And as budding libertarians are wont to do, I went off on some sort of a rant about how you're all slaves to government, right? I'm like, look, blah, 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 this and that and the other thing, and you're all freaking slaves to the government, right? I went off on this rant. My friend Mike overheard this. He was the singer in one of the bands that was playing that night. And so he comes up to me after the rant is over. He's like, so you really don't like being a slave, huh? You don't think people should be slaves? I'm like, that's right. You know, I'm all on my high horse or whatever, right? And he's like, well, then you should put down that cigarette because you're R.J. Reynolds' bitch. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're their slave. You give them money, they take part of your life. How is that not slavery? And I'm like, whoa, I've never heard that before, right? And I just kind of blew. I'm like, yeah, whatever, Mike, go do your show, you know. But, like, I heard that in my head for the rest of the night. You're R.J. Reynolds' bitch. You're their slave, right? And so I end up, you know, I go home after the show's over. I've been drinking the whole night. Usually what ruined my quitting smoking, right? I could quit for, like, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. But then I'd go to the bar and have a cocktail, and then I'd be like, nope, got to have a smoke, right? That's usually what ruined my streak of quitting.
Okay.
This time, I was drinking, you know, and smoking. And he was like, well, if you don't like slavery, then you should yourself not be a slave. That was his point.
I get the point.
And he was saying that I was a slave to argue, or whoever, right, whoever made the cigarettes. So I go home that night, like, all night I'm hearing this, and I can still hear it now. You're R.J. Reynolds' bitch, right? When I talk about it, every time I talk about it, I'm outside having my, like, before I go to bed cigarette, and I just keep hearing this. I'm like, I really am R.J. Reynolds' bitch. And I put that cigarette out. That was the last cigarette I ever had. So I quit for philosophical reasons.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, again, I get it, but they didn't force you to smoke the first one, right? They didn't make you buy any additional pack, right? Like, that was all you. Like, you voluntarily entered into a life of servitude.
Agreed.
Okay. And then exited just as easily.
Right, but I was able to exit.
That is not how smoking works. Exiting is not just as easily.
He said he just, I just up and quit. I just decided I wasn't going
to
be a
slave. Yeah, but that was after trying every other method available to me to quit.
Okay.
It wasn't until it hit me philosophically that I was able to see the reason to quit.
Okay.
Right.
And that's cognitive dissonance working the way it should. When you're like, no, I identify as a non-slave every time that the nicotine craving hits you, and you're like, no, I will not be R.J. Reynolds' bitch anymore.
That's exactly what happened. Like, every time I had that craving, I'm like, screw you. I've given you enough of my life's effort, right? Like, slavery is taking someone's life effort. Overt slavery is taking 100% of their life effort.
Yeah.
You know, sort of slavery light is taking a percentage like the state does, right?
I mean, yeah, sure, they're taking a portion of your life, but they're taking a portion on the back end, and theoretically you're getting a benefit on the front end.
What benefit was I getting?
Whatever the nicotine high is that keeps people going back to nicotine.
Which, to be fair, there's actually a tremendous number of benefits that you get from tobacco. It's just not worth the cost.
Well, for people who make that choice.
I saw no benefit at all once I thought about it philosophically. I'm like, what benefit am I getting? Do I look cool? No. Is it good for my health? No. Am I in fact shortening my life for every cigarette that I smoke? They don't call them nails in the coffin for nothing,
yeah,
right? So every cigarette you smoke, you're actually losing,
yeah,
some minutes off of your life,
right,
and paying for the privilege of losing those minutes to a company that doesn't care about you.
But it's still minutes on the back end for the immediate benefit. That's what I'm saying.
But there was no benefit
for you. For,
well,
some people, there are.
Oh, I
definitely experienced plenty of benefits from tobacco.
The only benefit
it's
I ever
that
got.
It's just the cost was way too high.
The only benefit.
And you made that choice individually.
Right.
The only benefit I can say that I got was, because I was also a marijuana smoker, was that if you smoke marijuana and then you wait a minute and a little while later you have a cigarette, you increase your buzz by something like 10%.
Mm.
That's the only, quote,
so there's
benefit.
For one thing, it's an anger suppressant, which in my case it was an absolutely useful thing, because I am a very angry person because I know what is going on in the world,
right,
and that kind of puts me on anger at all times.
And I was there, too.
I live on that edge.
I was there, too, and yes, it was, I don't know if it was effective at that, but it was certainly a reason for me to get away when I was angry. Like something, you know, angered me at work or whatever. Like, I'll be back. I gotta go have a cigarette, right? You know, it's kind of like alcohol. Like, I gotta go have a drink, right? You know, something irks you, and you're like, I need a drink, right? You know, I need a cigarette. You would do that. The only other benefit that I saw was in the work environment, right?
If you get extra breaks.
Well, okay.
All right.
I don't know about extra, but
non-smokers don't get cigarette breaks.
They do. Everybody gets the same amount of breaks, at least in the corporate environments that I worked at.
All right.
However, you know, the non-smokers just wouldn't do anything. They'd like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, you know, search the internet, going to go get a cup of coffee or whatever. Instead of the smokers who are like racing down to the smoking area to like choke down two if they can during their 10-minute break or whatever it is, right? So anyway. The other benefit that I, and it's sort of even a weird side benefit, is that you, when you start a new job and you learn who the smokers are, you kind of know who the, quote, cool people, unquote, are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that is to say, if you're a cigarette smoker, odds are you also smoke marijuana. Odds are you also drink. Odds are you see things differently than the rest of the world because, you know, at least when I was growing up, there was this huge oppression of cigarette smokers. Cigarette
so
smoking went
I'm
for like,
one of the cool kids. Huh?
Well, and it's been associated with anti-establishment people ever since the Macy's parade.
Yeah.
When it was connected to feminism, which was, like, actually interesting at the time.
So they got chicks hooked on it.
True.
Indeed. 603-283-6160. It is Free Talk Live, the Saturday night edition. And we've got a whole bunch more to talk about, including a man who left a voicemail who's looking at 5 years in federal prison. This is Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
A news update. With Israel warning people to leave northern Gaza as the war rages with Hamas, Egypt, Israel, and the United States have agreed to allow U.S. citizens to leave Gaza through the Rafah border crossing. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians have already fled after being given 24 hours notice to leave before an expected ground offensive. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says they have only just begun to retaliate for last week's attack. Hamas has told residents to stay and vows to fight to the end. Kaiser Permanente reached a tentative contract
contract agreement with union workers. The tentative labor agreement comes about a week after roughly 75,000 healthcare workers, excluding doctors, walked off the job for 3 days. The walkout was the largest healthcare strike in U.S. history. The terms of the deal were not disclosed. The union was seeking higher pay and increased hiring, among other items. Union members will now vote on whether to approve the pending contract. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Welcome back. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to the Saturday night edition.
It is now safe to unmute the microphones.
I did.
Yeah, yeah.
If I didn't, I don't think I could hear myself, much less you saying those things. 603-283-6160 is the phone number if you would like to join us here live. On the radio, on 180 or so radio stations, plus the internet, plus some satellite stations on Free Talk Live. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass, joining me.
Pickles Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
A little later tonight at 10:30 p.m., we will be doing the uncensored Beard Talk Live with all three of us because, well, we are bearded fellows. Like I think
bearded bellows.
Yeah, there's a town up in Vermont called Bellows Falls. I call it Fellows Balls because why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't you?
Right? Yeah.
Why not Spoonerize?
Yeah. Is that what that is?
Steal that
Spoonerism. Yeah.
Not, no relation to Lysander, though.
No relation that I know of.
Okay. All right. But yeah, that's why I just flipped a syllable.
Yeah.
You know.
Older brother Phil.
I think I've done that to you once. I called you Meekless Pountaineer.
Mm.
Is that Spoonerizing?
Yeah, okay. That's Spoonerizing. All right. Yeah, shout out to Zilch the Tory Steller.
I can't do that with Rich E. Rich because it's still Rich E. Rich if you
Clever.
Do it. Yeah, which like sort of negates the Spoonerism. You have an anti-Spoonerism name.
It's true.
By so design.
we do take phone calls, so let's go to this unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name, please?
Good evening. This is Tony from Central Virginia, and I just want to call in about smoking. I just got a good little story about I'm a merchant seaman, and I started.
You're a seaman merchant?
Merchant seaman.
Okay.
He's just a gigolo.
Our mistake.
When I first started in the early 90s, I got on board the ship. I was 21. I got on the ship, and I was the only person on the whole ship that didn't smoke. So you was talking before about how people got breaks. Well, that would work. We would be cleaning tanks, and the guys would come out of the tanks to have a cigarette, and they would leave me down there.
Right.
And, and finally I said, hey, screw this. I'm going to start smoking, too. And sure enough, I started smoking. And smoked for 25 years.
And that's how they get you.
Yeah, it was said, hey, these guys are taking a break. I think I'm going to take a break, too. So I just bum a cigarette off of them, and eventually I started smoking, too. But I quit just for health benefits. But tonight, when you guys were talking, I have a pipe here. And I said, well, you guys wouldn't, I hadn't even turned the tuned in yet.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to light the pipe and have a pipe, smoke a pipe tonight. And then you guys got in this this conversation, and I said, oh, I got to call in and let these guys know, man.
I am the resident never smoker here, but I really like the elegance of pipes.
I love the smell of pipe smoke, pipe tobacco.
Okay.
Like, there's not a lot of secondhand smoke that smells great. There's some cigars that, like, I'm like, oh, that's a good-smelling cigar. Like, you just know. You're like, oh, some cigars are like, ugh. But, like, pipe tobacco, for whatever reason, just smells great to me.
I just want an e-pipe to blow cherry-flavored O-rings. Like an e-vape pipe.
I enjoy having one every once in a while, but you was talking before, you was a slave to R.J. Reynolds. I grew up in West Virginia, and we grew tobacco. Even still, we grew tobacco, and I never messed with it until I got on a ship. But, you know, it's still, you could still, if you really enjoyed it, you could grow a few plants yourself and smoke your own tobacco. Yeah. I don't do that myself, but,
it depends on where you live. Like, there are some states that, like, don't allow that still.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there are some places where, like, if you just have a couple of plants, like, either in your backyard or in your basement of tobacco.
Okay.
Where, like, that's as illegal as growing a marijuana plant in some places, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I tell you what, there's no harder. I grew up on a rock farm in West Virginia. It's pretty much, I call it rock farm because that's pretty much what it was. We just digging up rocks and growing stuff. But we did grow tobacco. And that is one of the hardest crops because it's almost a yearly thing. In the morning of the spring, you have to burn off a big patch and plant the seeds, and then you have to get it up so far, and then you have to transplant it, and then on in the summer, and then you hoe it and sucker it and top it and pick it, and then you gotta. It's really a mess. It's a very hard.
We should have people for that.
Yeah, well, I guess we did one time. Now it's just poor West Virginians and poor Kentucky people. Well, I ain't gonna say that, but yeah, but it is a very, very hard and strenuous, time-consuming job.
Tony, how long did it take you to quit from the time you decided to until the time you were actually done?
Well, I was like you. Every time I had a beer, I wanted one.
Uh-huh.
So I could quit through the day, no problem, until I had a drink, and then I want one. And I have quit probably. It's probably been 15 years since I smoked.
Okay.
A regular.
Yeah.
But even today, when I have a drink, I still crave a cigarette. I crave it. I want it.
I'm done with the cravings. I just, I still enjoy secondhand smoke from time to time. Like, if there's a group of people smoking, you know, 30 feet away from the entrance of a building or something, I might just go stand there for a minute just to be like, I remember when I was a smoker, right?
I'll have that nostalgia.
Get away from us, loser, or grab a cigarette.
You will die with us or go away.
We gave you the whole restaurant. Give us this one little parcel of sidewalk.
I tell you what, I'm going to let you guys go. I truly enjoy you guys' program. I listen to you probably every night.
Awesome. Tony, thank you so much for the call, man. You have a great night, too. We'll talk to you the next time. 603-283-6160. Let's go to Squidward calling from his mom's basement somewhere in California. You're on Free Talk Live.
From the Bat Cave.
It's not logically inconsistent to advocate for some aggression. That's how ignorant and about logic and morality libertarians are.
It's your boy.
You falsely and irrationally equate morality with non-aggression.
It's your boy.
No, he's actually getting to the point. Like, get to the point.
Any set of action that intersects the two isn't necessarily morally inconsistent. So shut up about that. And true morality that is consistent with the true market is evolutionary profit. Not aggression.
All right, so how do you define morality? How do you define morality?
I just did. Evolutionary profit.
We were too busy talking over
you, Craig. That's not a definition of morality.
Yes, it is. Evolutionary profit, but you have to ask what the definition of evolutionary profit is what you mean.
No, we're not doing a tautology here.
Yeah, he already asked you. If that's your definition of morality, he just asked what is your definition of morality, not another term for your definition of morality, not the term for your path of morality, but what is the idea?
It's evolutionary profit. Morality is given to us by evolution, right? It selects what morality is. It forces morality to converge to something.
Squidward.
And evolutionary capitalism has identified what that is.
And what is
evolutionary
that?
Profit.
What's evolutionary capitalism?
Morality based on evolutionary profit, like real markets. Markets work on profit, not aggression.
But okay,
doesn't care about non-aggression.
Right, hang on.
Hold on.
Don't make me put you on hold, bro.
Now, if it requires a market for this to happen, then don't we need to have some amount of peace in order to get to a market? Because if you have someone who's like, you will trade this with this person, you will just give me that. Why? Because I have the gun. Well, then we're not actually having a market. We might even have a thing that is a farce of a market that appears to be a market, but it's not actually a market because it doesn't have this element called choice. Where I make my decision about whether or not that is worth trading for what I have.
All right.
You don't need complete consensual relationships. First off, here's the difference between...
What?
Like
who doesn't need complete consensual relationships?
Apparently his girlfriend.
Why don't you stop interrupting me?
Here's why don't you stop yelling at us every time you call? Thanks for the call.
Oh, all right.
I'm done with that guy.
All right.
That guy's such a evolutionary moron.
As the foremost expert on evolutionary capitalism, I would just like to say...
You are my favorite evolutionary capitalist.
Mm. He's the best.
What would you like to say?
Well, I don't necessarily have a problem with his use of that term.
Like, the dude doesn't know how to have a conversation. He just wants to
yell and blah, 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 I'm right in your mouth.
That's all I hear.
Let's talk about...
He's like if Twitter had a body.
Let's talk about his incentives for a moment, then. I will be on his side ever so briefly.
Go ahead.
He has learned evolutionary over time that if he starts to do dumb stuff at the beginning of the call, we don't let him get to his point. So now he's incentivized to ramble off his entire point at the very beginning of the call, else he's not going to get it out. So evolutionarily, he's consistent with learned behavior. And changing his behavior to suit
the evolution.
I appreciate the change. I appreciate the evolution from weird voice and creepy words to let's not do that, and I'll just get to my point,
see,
however asinine it might in fact be.
Right. There's another caller. I'm not going to like summon him, right, but he talks really fast.
Beetlejuice.
And I'm sure that I'm sure that at some point, right?
Jerome?
Stop summoning callers. Unless these are the people you really want to talk to.
Jerome?
I kind of miss Jerome.
No, but he talks really fast, and it's probably because when you call into other shows, right, they don't give you the chance to
Right.
Yeah. Fully flush out your thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, it reminds me of a guy who was on Bill O'Reilly and, like, you know, one of our kind of people.
Yeah.
And he, like, watched them and he's like, okay, I get exactly 3.78 seconds on average before he interrupts me. So right. if I can get my point down to 3.78 seconds.
This is the calculation
seconds,
Squidward is doing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which he did. He's like, all right. And he managed to get, like, a really, you know, anti-establishment thought out over the very establishment airwaves because he did that.
See?
So
you learn from past mistakes, and you change your behavior to accommodate the future situation.
But we learn from the past that people seldom learn from the past.
I mean,
but it's consistent with his philosophy of evolution, right?
Well, my issue there is, like, people keep using this word capitalism to mean completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people use it to mean the system we have right now, which is basically corporatist fascism.
Right.
Yeah, okay. It's corporatism, it's fascism, whichever way you want to.
Crony capitalism,
yeah, exactly.
Whatever, yeah.
Whereas what I like is free markets.
Okay.
And a free market is one where no one is being coerced into an action, and right. that's why they're valuable.
Well, then, pro tip then, right, know your audience, right? Like, when I'm talking to normies and muggles in the world, right, I will use the term libertarian, because they understand what that means, and it's a close enough approximation, right, for my belief system.
Yeah.
Do they?
Generally,
huh.
they have an idea. But when I'm in a room full of libertarians, right, I'm the anarchist.
Right.
Because the libertarians know what that means.
Mm, right.
Right. And then in a room full of anarchists, I have to hyphenate that to differentiate myself from the anarcho-communist or
right.
the syndicalist and the mutualist. Because they have a different understanding of the term anarchism than I do.
Right.
Right. So I use all of them, like, interchangeably, depending on the audience.
I mean,
when you're talking to normies and you use the term capitalism, you have to understand that they believe capitalism to be the current structure and situation.
Hmm.
So I'll hyphenate that. Anarcho-capitalism.
Right.
Well, what does that mean? It's like all the free trade you want without the state intervention.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I try to... there's a handful of words I really try to avoid using. And capitalist is, and capitalism, that's one of those terms that I really like to avoid using because of the confusion. Communism is another one that, like, oh, by communism, do you mean, like, that guy on his farm? Or do you mean the guy with the gun who's taking your stuff? And these are opposite ideas, but different people will use the same word.
Right. That's why I like voluntarist. I forget to use it frequently, or more frequently than I like. But I like the term because it sort of encompasses my personal ideologies, if you will, or how I've come to them in almost every circumstance. Now,
that's even more of an in-group term, though.
It is.
Mm. Regular people have no you want people to be volunteering for everything?
Right.
Well, sends them down that path and all go wrong.
But it does lead them to fewer wrong conclusions.
Okay.
So, like, if you Google voluntarism, as a lovely bumper sticker I saw said, then you will find out, the thing that we actually believe in.
Okay.
Whereas, if you Google anarchism, oh, man, who knows what you're going to find then? I mean, you might find all sorts of Marxist nonsense.
Yeah, there have been anarchist thought, anarchist books, right, anarchist teachings going back. One of the things I have in show prep, either for tonight or for Beer Talk Live later, is talking about Ireland. And there, somewhere between 1 and 9,000 years of, I'm going to call it anarchism, or at least voluntarism, non-government human organization.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that later. But, like, describing that to somebody today, I think can only be described as voluntarism.
So here, okay.
Yeah, do I say, I'm a too often?
Right.
So this is going to be disputed, and I don't have the source in front of me. So if you really need me to flesh this out.
Do you have a magic rectangle?
No, I do, but I'm not going to be able to find it. It's like, it's a little esoteric, and I had it saved as a PDF on my old phone or tablet, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to source it immediately. So there's like the grandfather of voluntarism, right, who like literally wrote the book, and I forget his name. But I researched this within the last 3 or 4 months.
Okay.
Right? And so I'm like, I'm reading through his little pamphlet on voluntarism,
mm-hmm.
and at one point, towards the end of the pamphlet, right, he advocates political use of force within the state system. It's there. It's in black and white.
Yeah. Wow.
Like his philosophy, the term that we all use, right, goes, well, if you have to use the state, it's the best way to get what you want, then go ahead and use the state. And it's in black and white.
Wow.
In the book. So we've been throwing around this term for however long we started using it, right? And it advocates state use of force right in the original documentation.
So is it voluntarist or voluntarist?
Tomato, tomato, in my book.
Well, it's,
well, no. If he's already screwed up one of those terms, then he hasn't screwed up the other one yet.
Oh, okay.
It is a semantic, yes, but like if I'm going to use one term over the other, I'd like to use, you know, the one that he hasn't co-opted.
I mean, again, it's so close. It's like Mark saying that should...
We've co-opted? I don't know. Yeah.
Like, is it Ferdinand Tonis?
Again, I wouldn't. I need more than an 8-minute break to like source this back.
Any of you ladies out there who are gonna have a kid, Ferdinand? Yes, consider that as a name.
But it's akin to Mark going, oh, you guys should call yourselves autarchist because it's more realistic to what you truly are. Instead of anarchist.
Like except that that term's already, like, an autocratic dictator. That
right.
term's
different,
already been
different
screwed
term.
Up.
That's autocrat, not autark. Right? Oh, you see the difference there? And we get muddled in this nonsense.
If you support, like, benevolent dictatorship, are you a dictarchist?
You'd be hopping at that point.
Oh, okay. Hopping along?
I like hoppings in my beer.
Like... I'm just thinking of like...
Like Triple H, Hans Herman Hoppe.
Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail.
Wait. We had a professional wrestler who was into anarcho-capitalist philosophy?
Yeah, woo! Triple H.
Oh, sorry.
The original Triple H.
I was right. thinking of Flairism.
Yeah.
Woo! I do love the man's... it might not be perfect, but I do love the argumentation ethics. The idea of like, okay... Either what we're doing is based on force, or it's not. And if we're not doing something based on force, then you've already agreed to all of these things. So hey, I get to be responsible for my actions, and you get to be responsible for yours.
Let's go to the phones. We've got Dana calling from Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. Hey, I was moving around trying to get some things done, so I focused on what was said and not who. Which one of you just said that Scooter sounded like if X had a body?
I said if Twitter had a body.
Peakless Mountain. Well, X
is the new Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Formerly known as.
That was Peakless Mountaineer.
This isn't a Peakless said it. It isn't just about, this has nothing to do with Scooter. That, what you said, was so brilliant. So
I appreciate
profound.
It.
Now, I've never been on social media, never will, but we all know what Twitter is, or X.
Yeah, I'm never going to call it that. I'm not going to call it X. I'm not going to call Facebook Meta. Like, no.
Right.
No, you've already branded yourself.
Right.
You don't get to unbrand.
Right, but and I really agree with you, but I don't partake in that, but I'm so familiar about it. The people who have opinions, especially celebrities, like they think that people really care what they think about, but
I wish they didn't.
So funny. And the brilliance in what you said, Peakless, was both in its truth, because if you know Twitter, even if you don't partake in it like myself, that's exactly who those people are. In its simplicity, it was just so profound. I'm going to use that again and again and again.
Well, and I mean, the thing is, the format kind of forces people into this. I mean, not forces, but like it inclines them automatically to their very worst selves. I mean, when you have the smaller the bandwidth that you can convey information, the more polarizing the information ends up being. And the fact that it's an incredibly tiny bandwidth and there's no cost for it. So and that it's instant. And, like, as far as I know, there's still no take-backs on that. Like, you can delete it entirely, but you can't, like, change what you said.
There's no edit button. There's just a delete button.
Right.
Well, I just wanted to give whoever it was, and in this case, Peakless, a shout-out, because that was, I laughed out loud. You know, one of those burst laughs, those where you almost blow and laugh.
The guffaw. The knee slapper.
L-L-O-L. Literally laughed out loud.
I just have a quick question. So what is the, I know that Ian got 8 years. I know they won't let him out. while he's appealing, the next step is an appeal. Mm-hmm. So what are the chances? Can you say, or have the attorneys given you any kind of inside information? What's going on?
Well, no, the attorneys haven't given us really any inside information. They are working, you know, on the appeal on all of the counts in which he was convicted. So they're not, you know, parsing them out. They're not saying we're only going to appeal this one. They're appealing the whole damn thing. So the idea is that they are gunning for a whole new trial, based on the fact that while, yes, a jury did say you're guilty, the evidence did not support the jury's decision is the direction that I believe that they're going. Now, just knowing generally the appeals process, it is a fact that sometimes the appeals process takes longer than a sentence because government does not want to do anything quickly or efficiently. And that kind of a thing. So there's a chance that while the appeals process is forthcoming and the attorneys, at least for Ian, believe that innocence is on his side and the evidence did not show his guilt, that it is possible that the government drags their heels so much that this thing can't get done quickly, never mind the, you know, whatever they say about a right to a speedy trial and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, is he going to get that deal where you get one day reduced sentence for good behavior for every day served?
Well, there is a, you know, we'll call it a program in place for those who are incarcerated to earn. They don't call it good behavior now. They call it something a good time or something like that.
Good times. Yeah,
good times. Right.
Good time getting out of there.
Right. So there is that in place. And in fact, we are hoping that Aria, who's also incarcerated now, receives some of that in her sentence so that we can see her before Porkfest of 2024. So we'll see what happens.
Well, how long was Aria's sentence?
18 months.
How did Ian get 8 years then?
Yeah, because he was the ringleader.
That's a real sophisticated
thing. Take a plea.
And thank you for the call, Dana. We appreciate you. 603-283-6160. If you'd like to call, comment on anything we've been talking about, change the subject, bring up whatever's on your mind. It's called Free Talk Live for a reason. And we've got more. Hour 2 of Free Talk Live is coming up.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.